Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In today's episode of our podcast, we're going to talk about the one thing that everyone's talking about at the moment is the Reserve Bank have paused interest rate rises. What does that mean? Why did they do it? And is that good for us as property lovers? As we know, the first Tuesday of every month, the Reserve Bank decides what it's doing with monetary policy. And yesterday was a bit of a spanner in the works, or not a shock, it was widely expected, but the Reserve Bank, after 10 consecutive months of raising rates hard and fast, in fact, the fastest and hardest rate rise in history, so it was a complete tailspin out of nowhere because they told us rates wouldn't rise till 2024. Then 11 months ago, they just started and haven't stopped until yesterday. So they paused their rate rising cycle. I don't know if we're out of the woods yet or we can breathe a sigh of relief and say, oh, the next move in interest rates is down. So a few dynamics, and these things never operate in a vacuum. It's always a lot of forces at play at once, isn't it? So you think about a lumberjack chopping down a tree, that happens in a vacuum. There's a tree, there's a force wielded by the lumberjack, and there's an axe, and they're all known knowns. And you can adjust the environment, he can chop harder or whatever, and you can influence outcomes. But when you talk about an economy, it's more like game theory. And game theory means a whole lot of forces in play at once, where there's a lot of moving parts and any one piece can adjust or have a domino effect on anything else. So if you think of a game of sport, it depends on the team on the day. It depends on the weather and the wind and if it's muddy and they drop the ball and if their best player is sick or injured or whatever. And there's so many things that can impact the outcome at any given time. And an economy is a little bit like that. So the Reserve Bank have been trying to cool us down for a while because after the pandemic, prices just went through the roof. Globally, all around the world, we had supply chain shortages and issues because things had been banked up. And then we had all of this stimulus during the pandemic. The government gave out JobKeeper and HomeBuilder and all these grants to try and stimulate the economy, and people hoarded it. So people had a lot of money. Meanwhile, they kept interest rates really, really low. So interest rates are the price of money, and keeping them really low meant that people weren't rewarded for saving, and it meant that it was really cheap for them to borrow. So everyone borrowed, everyone bought property amongst other things. And for us as property lovers, we saw property prices go up. Fastest pace ever. Historical heights of property prices, and as a result, because they were all doing it with cheap money when interest rates were 0.1%, then we saw a lot of people in a lot of debt. And then they put the brakes on really quickly, did a massive U-turn and said, no, rates are going up now hard and fast. Some months last year, they raised interest rates 0.5%. So it was two rate rises that hit us almost in 1 month. And that just kept happening and happening. So now, month 11, we see that they have paused it. Not so much because they say, oh, it's all fixed now, inflation's good and back in the target range. No, the target range, they want it between 2 and 3%. In Australia in February, it was 6.8%. But that was better than January when it was 7.4% and December when it peaked at 7.8%. So we may be doing a little bit better. The other reason why they paused was because rate rises don't cause immediate pain. Let's have a look at what they said. So the RBA rate decision for April set the cat amongst the pigeons because Governor Lowe paused his rate rising cycle. And it led some people to think, well, is this the end of it? And we're not going to see any more rate rises. And is the market now going to turn? The answer is probably not, but hey, who knows? So we need to look at the monetary policy statement that the bank released. So what happens is the Reserve Bank has a meeting, they look at graphs and studies, and they decide what they're going to do. And then they give reasons for that or publish the minutes of their meeting. So what they said is in their statement, we understand that when we raise rates, it has a lag effect. So we haven't felt the full brunt of the rate rises, the 10 rate rises in a row that we've had since this time last year. So they're saying that's still to flow through the system. And one of the reasons for that is because nearly a million homeowners, 800 odd thousand, are on fixed interest rates. So they're still sitting on rates with a one in front of them. They're paying 1.99%, and they're all due to end this year. So a whole lot of people who haven't had to curb their spending, who haven't felt any pain, are going to start feeling pain. So that's going to have an impact. So they don't want to overcorrect and push too hard too fast. So they said, we're going to hold rates steady this month and give us time to assess what's happened as the pain flows through and look at what's happening in the economy. They've said globally that inflation is still very high. And they've also said that there's stuff happening that's going to have a knock-on effect throughout the world. So last month, two US banks collapsed and another Swiss bank got swallowed up by a competitor. So there's volatility in financial markets. He assured us that Australia's banks and financial institutions are safe, but they think that there's going to be tighter financial conditions in the global economy, and that's going to impact Australia as well. A bit like the GFC. It all happened in America, but we still felt the brunt of it. Now, they also said that they think inflation has peaked. So inflation was 7.8% in December. It was 7.4% in January. And they just released the February inflation figures in April of this year, and they were 6.8%. So inflation looks like it's coming down. However, they've still got to watch what's happening in the rest of the world. So our economy is shrinking, and that's because we're not spending as much because interest rates are higher. So a whole lot more of our income is just going on servicing debt. So we've got less to spend at the shops. The cost when we do spend at the shops is a whole lot more because of inflation. So instead of buying two packets of cornflakes, we only buy one. And there's a decline in our housing prices. In other words, if I had a property and I had $500,000 equity in property, now I may only have $300,000 equity in property. So I feel like I've lost $200,000. So I'm going to spend a whole lot less as well because my net worth has gone down. So they said, regardless of the pain, our number one priority and focus is to get inflation back to a manageable level. And the Reserve Bank used these words. They've used them a few times for the last few months. The path to achieving a soft landing for the economy remains a narrow one. That's pretty scary stuff because what they're saying is we're going to try our best, but it's like trying to land, you know, a 747 on a pin. Like, who knows? And one wrong step and we could plunge into recession. So they're going to try and give us a soft landing. In other words, we won't feel it and we won't feel a recession, but it's hard. They don't want to over adjust, raise rates too high or stop raising them too soon. So they've said, finally, we expect to raise rates further. Their exact words were the board expects that some further tightening of monetary policy may well be needed. In other words, they're saying they probably will have to raise rates further, but they're happy to pause this month, wait for a bit of a lag effect, wait to see what's happening with the rest of the world, and then reassess. Now, the day after the rate pause, they also released their chart pack for the month of April. So that's where the Reserve Bank releases all the information they relied on to make their decision to pause rates. So that comes from the Australian Bureau of Statistics and all sorts of other data sources. So one of the things that they said is that our GDP, our growth as an economy, is down. In fact, the only reason our economy is growing isn't because we're producing a lot or we're doing really well. It's because we're spending more. And we're not spending more because we want to or because we're rich. It's because we have to, because everything's more expensive. So our morning coffee that was $3 is now $4.50 and so on. So that's a result of inflation. And the inflation figures that they produced were really high. When I say really high, coming down, but still way outside their target range, which is between 2 and 3%. It's sitting now at 6.8%. So it's more than double what the top end of the range is. So that's going to take some time. They're thinking maybe 2025 to get inflation down where it should be. The other graph that they released that they're relying on is consumer sentiment, and that is at an all-time low. So 100 is even when they measure consumer sentiment, and there's a few groups that do that. But so there's the Roy Morgan poll as well as a Westpac poll. And they look at how positive or optimistic people are about the economy. So 100 means that they're neither too optimistic or too pessimistic. Now, the all-time lowest point, remember 100 is even or average, the all-time lowest point was during the global financial crisis, so in 2008, where it plummeted to about 75. However, then it went off the Richter scale again in 2020, in the early days of the pandemic, namely April 2020, when there was uncertainty, we didn't know what was happening. It went down, but not down to the 75 level, down to a little bit higher, about 78 on average. But then now, fast forward 2023, now it is down near 70. So people are feeling less confident, more concerned, scared, more afraid and uncertain than they did in 2008 or in 2020 with a 1 in 100 year unknown pandemic. So scary times that everybody is so afraid. And that's probably why. So we haven't been this afraid since records were kept, like not since World War II. So it means that the Reserve Bank have said, hey, maybe we've overdone it a bit. People are really starting to hurt and this could destroy everything. So they also looked at our debt levels. Debt was really, really high because we had low rates for so long. Everyone borrowed so much money, spent it all, and now we're carrying that debt. So we spend nearly double of what we earn in Australia, and that's getting worse, obviously, because interest rates and repayments are going up. Meanwhile, our housing prices fell almost 10%. And in fact, they were up 20% this time last year, and now they're down a further 10%. So they've dropped 30% in the space of a year on average. And the final graph that they probably took into consideration was business investment. So what businesses spend in the economy. So if we're all feeling good, if things are going well and businesses are booming, they're going to double down. They're going to invest in more staff, more training, more technology, whatever it is. When they're scared, what do? Well, they pause hiring. They don't spend. They don't invest. They just wait and see. So everyone's probably waiting and seeing right now. We haven't seen business investment this low, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics that the Reserve Bank relied on, since 1992. So that was the recession we had to have. So fast forward like 30 odd years and we're back down at those levels again. Everybody's pessimistic. And as Roosevelt said, that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. In other words, he's talking about the Great Depression, but Fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if we're afraid, if we're uncertain, we don't spend, we do nothing. And there is one thing better than a bad decision. We've got good decisions, we've got bad decisions. Worst thing you do is no decision at all. And that's what people are doing. We're all just frozen, waiting to see, and something's got to give. But anyway, what gave was the Reserve Bank. They were wielding an axe. They were pumping up rates, blowing up like a big balloon, and they've just paused because they didn't want the balloon to burst. What does it mean for us then as property lovers? No different than what we've been doing the last year or so. So swings and roundabouts. In a hot market, everyone was complaining over 12 months ago that they just couldn't get anything. They were outbid at auction. In a falling market, people are saying, well, I just better wait because who knows how low it's going to go. But what we have seen, if you've been following us as a member of the property lovers community, is that prices really haven't plummeted because sellers aren't selling unless they have to. So most people are just waiting this out and no one's making a move. It's a standoff at the moment. So properties have maintained their value. But these rate rises are going to pinch soon. A lot of people fix their rates at under 2%, 1.79%. to 1.99%, and 800,000 people come off fixed interest rate loans this year. So what's going to happen is they're going to go from paying, you know, 1.99% overnight, they're going to be paying 5% and 6%. So it's going to hurt, and the Reserve Bank's aware of that, and they know the timing through APRA, who regulates banks. They know when all those fixed interest rates are going to switch over to much higher variable rates, and there's going to be a surge in pain because of that. That's going to have a whiplash effect on the whole economy. So we're watching this space carefully. But remember the old adage, to be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy, as Warren Buffett said. So what do you buy? I wouldn't be speculating. I would be buying the best that you can afford. And look at the fundamentals. Those don't change. Areas where there's transport spines, where there's growth, where there's demand, where there's infrastructure, all of that is not going to change. Even a 1-in-100-year pandemic didn't really change the way people lived. Yeah, sure, we had tree changes and sea changes. That was happening anyway. We had decades in weeks because of the pandemic, but people are still commuting to work. People are, I can say at the coalface in the CBD, people are back. Industry, the wheels are turning. We haven't changed our lifestyles so drastically that the regional properties that saw a boom in those times seem to collectively be going down. And the areas that have held firm are the classic areas where people have always lived, always wanted to live. And obviously with the construction industry having real headwinds at the moment, developers who have got in over their heads because they bought in the boom, they projected higher sale prices, the market's gone down, and they didn't project their construction costs to be as high as they are. So all of those development sites have stalled. There'll be some good buying there, and obviously there'll be demand. So even though there's no stock on market and rates have risen a lot and sellers are hanging back, we've got borders open, so we've got more migration and people wanting and needing roofs over their head. We've got a rental crisis where rents have gone sky high and gets to a point that where people want to buy. As we said, it's not just in a vacuum. One thing happens, there's a domino effect, and something else has to give. So it's a question now of you're not having FOMO, fear of missing out. It's very much an even market, and you can take your time, you can analyze, but you can really look quite strategically. So it wasn't just FOMO, I'll buy anything and oh my gosh, what if I miss out and prices keep going higher? But strategically, you can have a longer term plan, you can have buffers in place and contingencies just in case costs blow out, and you can make those bigger. And there are ways to take advantage of this market. market. We call it the four Ds in our property lovers community. So distressed, a lot of people are going to be feeling more and more stress from rising rates, especially as they come off those fixed interest loans we talked about. There's deceased estates. There are people who have to sell regardless of the market, and that's not within their control. They've inherited a deceased estate. They've got a certain time period where they go to court and get probate, and then a certain time period and tax ramifications where they want to sell the property regardless of the market. There's also downsizers. Downsizers don't wait for a better market or hold off. Nine times out of 10, they are making a move not to do with, oh, the market's right, we better sell now. They're making a move because they're moving somewhere else, to a smaller premises, to a retirement village or whatever it is. And the developers we've talked about as well, who paid too much and now feeling the pinch of that. And either they're getting more conditioned and selling up, or mortgagees are moving up and selling for them. So they're the four Ds: developers, deceased estates, distressed, and downsizers. And you can strategically look for those. It doesn't, it's not easy, but it is simple, and it doesn't need to take an entirety. You could go from zero to hero quite fast. In fact, and it's a bold claim, you can do it in a day if you're focused. That's why we have our Property Lovers 1 Day Challenge. We did it a couple of weekends ago, and you can indeed, in this market, find a deal in a day with six-figure profits in it, if you have the right knowledge, support, systems, and tools. And that's what we did for those who participated in our challenge. People walked away on Saturday night with a profitable deal with six figures in it that they've since executed. How good is that? So if you can give us 1 day, we can meet you halfway. And at the end of that, you bring yourself and your time. We'll bring the knowledge, the support, the systems and the tools, the software, to strategically search for these four Ds to make sure you run your numbers right in a market like this, so that you're not overpaying, you're not under budgeting for the works that you're doing to the site. But this is a market where you can add your own value. You're not going to wait for the housing market to go through the roof. That takes years. You're going to be in control and manufacture your own capital growth because of your street smarts and your skill in finding the right property and applying the right data, running your numbers with precision and putting the deal together right. So it's four Fs. It's find, feasibility, fund, and formulate a deal. We're going to do those four in a day on the 22nd of April. It's all free. We want to empower our property lovers to go out there and do deals. You are social proof in action and in the making. So we put the link in the comments and description section. Go ahead and register for that day. We'll issue with you everything you need on the day, all the software, all the logins, and we will literally do it together. Step one, this is how we find. Go do it. So there's no excuses. By the end of the day, you will have a deal with six-figure profits in it. All we need is your time. So that happens on the 22nd of April. If that's for you, go to the link in the comments and description section, register there, and this is the perfect storm, the watershed moment where everything could change for you. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. Here at Property Lovers, we've got a big mission to help people who are serious about property start getting outcomes and profits to match their passion. It's not easy, but it is simple. It will require from you focus, commitment, and action. But over the last decade, supporting property entrepreneurs, we found that 80% of results come from how you start. You see, you need to get off to a sizzling start. It's all in the launch and the velocity around the start. And the rest is pretty much autopilot if you start right, follow through, and just stay on course. That's why we created our 5-day challenge, to work through a funnel to get you deals. So step one is find the deal, which we set up through artificial intelligence software. So it's made sure that it's for your strategy and desired outcomes. And we do all that and build that together on days one and two. By day three, you'll have about 100 leads in your hopper, both coming on market and from off market. And you'll be able to consider them. And that's where we move to step three. And that's where we run them through a feasibility filter. Notice the F theme here. Find feasibility. And the next step is to formulate the deal and the offer. That comes on day four, where we get our offers ready. And next step is we look at ways are finally left to fund them using other people's money, so it's none of your money. So that's 80% of the hard work done then and there. By day five, you'll be submitting offers. And that's it for the challenge. Then it's over to you to fix up these properties. That's the fifth there, fix, and finally flip them for a quick payday. So if you want to get off to a flying start, you can go to the link in the notes section and sign up for our 5-day property challenge. Just 1 hour a day over 5 days, or all in one session if you're committed, and you'll be off to a start on your property journey with leads, funding, everything you need, and the software at your fingertips. And for any other questions that you might have around property and all your property needs, visit our website, propertylovers.com.au, because we're here to support you on your property journey and give you a real competitive advantage with the right knowledge, support, and systems to achieve your financial goals. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.